There's no reason why we shouldn't pursue it. Okay, that is the main question of what we're dealing with. So last week we did the introduction, basically, or the general sources to the whole idea of doing lifnim shuat hadin. We saw the main sources in the Torah, in the Torah. We saw different interpretations for that source, and we saw a few areas where the concept of lifnim shuat hadin was applied as an obligation, not as an option, but as an obligation. So we start with the Vasita Yashar V'Atov. Rashi explains that is a pshara lifnim mishurat hadin. That is an obligation to do more than what we're obligated to. Obligation to do more than what we're obligated to is a good. it's a commandment to do more than what we're obligated to do. How did Rashi learn that? We said it's the synthesis between the two concepts of yashar and tov. On one hand, yashar is by the book, okay, going straight, and tov is doing good. We're always doing good to someone is usually, or a lot of times, not going exactly by the book. So how do we combine these two? How do we find the golden path between them is pshara lifni mishurat adin. It means we're not totally off the din, we don't even go mishuge, but we have somewhere in the middle, that's lifni mishurat adin. That was Rashi's interpretation. Ramban took it to, on the pshat at least, to talk about intentions. We're doing the mitzvah, do the things for Vasita Shabbatot, Meini Hashem. But he brought the midrash of Chazal that Rashi brought down, and he explained a very important thing, that which is the Magen Mishnah, which we saw further on, elaborated a bit more. But there, according to Ramban and Magen Mishnah, who came generations after from the same Beit Midrash, that there are, obviously the Torah in its specific commandments does not cover every situation that comes up in life. Life is much more complex and much more vast than 613 commandments. But the Torah gives us parameters. The Torah gives us guidelines as to how to behave, even in cases which the Torah doesn't talk about. One of the examples of this is kedushim to you, to be holy people. And that means even in places where the Torah does not prohibit, we were reviewing last week's. Even when there's no prohibition in the Torah, there's a commandment: lo liot naval v'rishut haTorah. Don't use. Say, oh yeah, I'm okay with the book. Where does it say in the Torah not allowed to do this? Where does it say in the Torah not allowed to be corrupt? Where does the Torah say you have to be a nice guy? Where does the Torah say a lot of things? The Torah doesn't say specifically. The Torah gives us guidelines. One of these guidelines is kedushim to you, be holy people. And the second guideline, which the Ramban spoke about here, is vasita shavatov, to do the good and to be a good person to other people. That's a general command which covers a lot of areas and a lot of other mitzvot. It's a general rule. It contains a lot of details within. Okay, that's the general guidelines. Now, we saw last week two examples of halachot in sources 46. We saw that, or say 47. We saw examples of two halachot which were instituted as obligations. One of them based on Vasita Yashar V'Atov. One of them is the halacha of bar mitzvah, meaning the obligation to reviewing last week. We did the first page last week. The two issues that were instituted as obligations based on Vasita Yashar V'Atov, sources 4 and 5 talked about. Dina de bar mitzvah, meaning when a person has a property adjacent to a property that's for sale, he gets precedence in buying the property that's close to it, so that over someone who comes from a father's place, okay, that is to allow him to have basically save on his budget and to be able to buy two properties that are adjacent one to another, not to have to buy two properties that are far one from the other and lose out. So he gets precedence, okay. Or nowadays, a good example of this would be if a person is renting an apartment and the apartment goes up for sale, the seller has to give precedence to the person who's already living in the apartment over someone who from the outside who wants to buy it. And because the person living in it already, he's close to it, it makes it much easier for him, doesn't have to start transferring all the stuff and moving, and therefore, Vasita Shabbatov, so that's an obligation, okay? Second obligation which we came across in sources 6 and 7 is dina de gud o agud, when there's a partnership and the partnership splits up. In the cases where the object that has to be split up can't be split up physically, okay? And the classic case is the baby in Shlomo HaMelech's trial, but there, you can't split up a baby. In any case, you can't have a baby a week here, a week there. But let's say there's a car, you have a car, you have a piece of land which isn't big enough, you have a house, let's say two brothers inherit a house, and you know, the house has to go to someone. You know, say, okay, I can live here, you don't live here, you can't live two families in the same house, what are you going to do? So one party could demand and has a right, luckily, to demand from the other party, or to sell him his share, and that means, or to buy the other share off the second party. Meaning, you take it all and buy your share off me, or allow me to buy your share off you, and me have the whole property. Okay, there's something else that can be split for time. Let's say it's a car or something. A car could be, let's say, you can do that half a year it's by me, half a year it's by you. That is something which is also reasonable, but you have a legal right to demand a certain type of division, a certain type of way that will allow both sides to enjoy the object. And one side can just say, look, I own half of it, and I won't let anybody use it. I don't care what happens to it, as long as you don't use it. A person doesn't have to do that. That's against Asita Shavatov. And Allah instituted that. Asita Shavatov is a commandment here that gives a legal right. It's really instituted as a legal right. Okay, this is what we reviewed last time. Okay, so these are specific cases. We spoke of very, very specific cases. Good, good, but most cases that come up in life are not these type of clear-cut cases. They weren't instituted before Ashen Shulchan Aruch. And then comes up the question where all the cases were not stated, when should I do Lifnei Meshuat HaDin? When should I do concessions and give up the money or whatever it is? And when not? And for this, obviously, we can't cover every specific case, but we need some guidelines. We need some guidelines for that. And as I mentioned in the morning, a few times, but I'll just a general rule again. When we learn Gemara most of the time does not give us general rules. Zeaklal sometimes appears in the Mishnah, and usually the Gemara says that Zeaklal is also not a rule. It's Latuyemai, Lapukemai. It usually just comes to tell you another case in there. But Gemaras don't usually give us general rules. And what we need to do is just learn the cases in the Gemara, different cases where the Gemara mentioned the concept of Lifnei Meshuat HaDin. Learn these cases and try and get a certain graph, okay, of certain, you know, you have different points on the scale, on the grid, and you can may get a type of a picture out of these different cases. And once you learn different cases, we'll be able to get a certain picture of what's within the borders of Lifnei Meshuat HaDin and what is not expected of us. And that is a general guideline in business and life in general, what we want to do. So to do that, we need to study four Gemaras, which are sources 8 to 11 by you, and then do the Tosfot. So at least you want to start with the Gemaras, do the Chavrusa. Okay, even though there's no Rashi here, there's a bit of Bava Metzia, Bava Kama here, if you want to learn the Gemara's, we don't have so many people, so if you in two groups, so it's about you can start with the Bava Metzia, start with the Bava Kama, you have a bit of Rashi, and that'll help you out. I'll bring another one or two, okay, so you can have, and learn the Gemara's. Once you finish the Gemara's, we'll go through the Tosfot and see what we can get a lot of the mice out of this, okay?
What are these sources about?
It's about shot.
sick.
How much did Bridget just learn to
I mean, I'm not in the shot this year.
Okay,
what are we doing?
Really?
Alright, well.
Just looking at this.
Did you get another safe?
Yeah.
It's only this guy. It's 40.
Prico Tina.
What? Second Prico Tina.
Take apart and to load them. I don't know what that is. Anything to do with it.
Widest.
Oh, but you smell that? The second widest. You just want to read it off of here, or did it come up?
The concept and the complaint. The bum and see the part discusses where, like, it's having to load off someone's down.
Oh, look at the famous. Yes, Mata.
Someone saw something.
Okay.
Bum and see,
yeah? Huh?
The bum and see,
yeah. Bum and see, yeah.
Not bum and see.
Oh, let's see it. Are we reading this? What are we reading?
Yeah, this.
Reading this? Why do you bring it to the Bhagavad Gita? No, this is Roman Gita.
I open it up here.
People, why do you bring us this if it's not...
Oh, that's a really good idea.
Why are we jumping around? What? Oh, it's the exercise one. I got it. Okay. What?
Do you remember the Steigathon from your year?
Yeah. You what just do it running around. Yeah.
You just buckled your own time, yeah. So therefore you go on your ass.
What?
You just buckled it just to run around.
Right. Oh, that's like one of those things that's like what to do?
Yeah.
Who said that?
Tommy, I did.
That you're allowed to run in a circle? What? For how long?
For as long as you want.
Really?
10 seconds.
10 seconds.
10 seconds.
And how long are you allowed to talk to me for?
As long as you want.
Cause it's been pretty long. It's been past 10 seconds. Promise you that. Yalla.
I'm our law.
Law.
Some sort of female.
Will. See, boys talk to girls.
He's talking to a woman. I think an Isha.
Okay. No. Wait, people. Why did you bring us? Why did you bring us the Gemara that's on the sheet?
What?
Why did you bring us the Gemara
that's on the sheet?
If you want. What if I hate Rashi? What if me and Rashi?
I wouldn't blame you because it's French. I hate French as well.
Then you start screaming.
See,
okay.
Excuse
me. Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
All French.
Rabbi Yishmael.
In German, in Dutch, in Italian.
Rabbi Yishmael. Hello, Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yos. No, that's not a good
one. Sorry for the second one, the third one?
Bob, come on.
That be someone over the other side.
Okay, yeah, okay. There's whatever there is.
Avakazi, Borcha Pagabe, Ahu Gavra.
I need an English one.
Okay,
good. Okay. Okay. So we made the moment.
Borcha was your guest.
Is that the
way to go to him tomorrow?
Pagabe. Oh God, bro.
Those and the other ones that you get out of the channel, you know,
you struck him.
What I'm going to do. I'm going to do it. אז אביתי לא ראינו אף כי נו, ראו לי לפי עשרה כתירת נימוסים, נחזר לפי עדה נימוסים, נחזר אבי לחיים יש לבעל אבידי. אז נשום ראה...
פעם חדה אופי, משאבי של
יוחנן, לא חרבה ירושלים, וואי, זה ירושלים, וואי, בבית המקדש get destroyed, אלא שדנו בדין תורה, people only went by the book, and were not empathetic, were not דין דו חסד, they only, דין תורה, only the דין. So what do we see from here? That a person should be nice to other people, even if it's things that he doesn't deserve, or things that, you know, a person isn't 100% the state, it should be nice to him. That's what you see from here. Huh? People were not, didn't know how to do concessions. Didn't know how to do a bit more than what you have to do. Okay? We're too official. I don't know. That's the first case. So, this is the first case that we see the Lifnei Meshurat HaDin. Rav Shua Rav Yossi did it, and we see it's a good thing to do. So, let's see the second case. Here we're talking, we're not in taking a stroll down the road, here we're in the bank. Okay, we're in the bank. In those days, you want money changers, and you want to make sure your money's good, and you can get a second opinion. Okay, so a woman came to Rabbi Chiya. A dinar is a type of a coin, has an emblem on it, or a stamp, or a whatever, and you want to know if it's original or fake. So, shows Rabbi Chiya, it's a great coin. So she bought that coin, she changed money, she got that coin. Next day she comes to him, Achzite, I went to the bank to get money for it. And what happened? Namruli, Bishahu, it's bad. It's fake. You made a mistake, Mr. Rapia. I lost money because of you. But look, Anafitli, like Anafitli, they wouldn't leotzi it, they wouldn't change it for me. Amarli le Rav, okay, so Rav Chiya said to Rav, Zil Chalfin Yala, Lechtova Pinkasi Din Esek Bish. Rav Chiya was Rav's uncle. Okay, Rav Chiya was the borderline between Tanai and Amoraim. Rav Chiya was, very close to Rebbe, was a generation of Rabbi Danasi, he was the uncle of Rav. Rav, you know, was on the borderline of Tanaim and Moraim, because some places the Gemara says that Rav could argue with Tanaim. So, Zil Chalfin Yala, Lechtova Pinkasi Din Esek Bish. Change it for her, you pay off, okay, pay in my name and write on my books. That was a bad deal, okay, and I have to pay for it. Basically, so, Rav took upon himself, Rav Chiya took upon himself to pay for the damages that were caused because he gave a wrong opinion about the coin. You said it? He says the Gemara, Maishna Danku Bisu Deptire, Danku Bisu were two biggest bankers. And the Gemara said that if they make a mistake, they're potter. That's part of the concessions given to them. Because they're the best around don't have to pay for their mistakes. Rav Chiya was also on their level. He was high-ranking, top banker. So why did he pay? Why did he tell Rav to pay her back and then take it upon himself the money? So what does the Gemara say? Rav Chiya, bold print, lifnei mishurat hadin davar. Also, Rav Chiya paid even when he didn't have to pay. That's case number two. And the Gemara brings the same limud. Tana Rosa, that Tana is a bitchayim, and dechelu, and chasadim, whatever. Now, third case. Here's got to do with the Shabbos Aveda here. Rav Yehuda harashaki ve'azil batrei demar Shmuel b'shuka de Beidisa. Rav Yehuda was following Shmuel in the shuk. That's the way Yerushim ushtamid ha-chachami. Follow Rabbi in the shuk, you see how he behaves, you see what he does, okay, and you ask him questions on the way. Okay? So Rav Yehuda was a big Talmud of Shmuel. You find a lot of times in the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, right? So Rav Yehuda was a big Talmud of Shmuel. He's following his Rebbe Shmuel in the Shuka de Beit Disa. The Shuka was called Beit Disa. Amar Rav Yehuda is asking questions of Shmuel. It was bothering him, his students. Don't leave the rabbi alone a second. You know, don't let him breathe. He's asking questions all the time. Just what would be the deal if I found a wallet, okay, a pocket with money in it, here in the street, in this busy street, in the Shuk? He said, you can take it for yourself. You don't have to give it back to anyone. What would happen, says Rav Yehuda to his Rebbe, what happens if a second later a Jew comes and says, you know, it's mine, and there's a bit of a siman on it, this and that, there was this and that amount of coins there, and this type of coins, and there was a little mark on the little back. You have to give it back. Says the Gemara, Tate, third line. What? I don't get it. If you told me a second, if you found it, you're allowed to take it, what does that mean? But do you have to do a Shabbos Aveda or not? No. So if a second later, Israel comes and gives a siman, why would the halacha change? If you don't have to do a Shabbos Aveda, you can take it for yourself. So even if he gives a siman, it's not his anymore. You don't have to give it to him. Hamale, I told you, Chayav Lachzir. Not because there's an obligation on Shabbos Aveda, but because of the obligation to do what? Lifnim. Shurat Adi. Just like the case, Kiha, third line, Kiha, Avu, Adi Shmuel, Ashkecha, Nechama, Vimit, Barah. The father, Shmuel's father, was a big Talmud Chacham. Avu, Adi Shmuel's father, Ashkecha, Nechama, Vimit, Barah. He found some donkeys or some mules or whatever, Bamit, Barah, in the desert. The Gemara says, you only need to keep these type of things 12 months. Why keep them 12 months? Because these things eat a lot, right? They consume. They have to feed them, and that costs a lot of money. So up to 12 months, they reckon that you can. It's worth keeping them, and the guy will pay you for your expenses, and it'll be worth it to get them back. So like, let's say you find a car, right? Is it worth keeping a car 10 years? I'm doing a Shabbos Aveda? Definitely not, right? Because you have to pay for its insurance, keep it up to date on Rishayon. And after 10 years already, it's all worth, it's all gone down, it's not worth anything already, right? So at a certain stage, you have to sell it, and keep the money for the person or whatever. So he did, Lifnim Yishuat Adin, he gave it back, and he kept upkeeping this thing, even more than 12 months, and he was even invested extra money, even though he didn't have to, Lifnim Yishuat Adin. That's the third case. Now, the fourth case, which Tosfot brings up, which Tosfot, I think, is going to bring up as a problematic case. Take a look at this one. Actually, we used this case in a recent verdict we gave in the Beis Din. Rabbi Bar Avchanan. Rabbi Bar Avchanan got a mover to move stuff for him. Okay, he had wine barrels. Okay, wine barrels, and he needed them transferred from place to place. And so he got these poalim, he went to the market, he got these guys who take a job, right? So I had to move it from here to there, I needed to take them down to the marketplace, I needed to bring it from a different house, I needed to bring it home, whatever it is. And what happened? They broke it. Okay, they broke the barrel of wine. As Rabbi Avchanan, Tavuli, Tavu is Shavu, they broke it. Tavuli Ham Shakulai, the Shakulai are the people who schlep, the schleppers. Lishkol is what? To carry. Nahon? Not to take away. To transfer, right? So, Shakulai are the transfers, the movers. Okay? As Rav Chana, Tavuli Hanu Shakulai Chavita de Chavo. Chavo is wine. They broke his barrel of wine, his Chavit Shel Yain. So, what did he do? He didn't give in Rav Chana. He was no friar. He wasn't saying. What did he do? Shakali Glimai. He took their clothes. Okay? He took something. They weren't paying him. Okay? So, he took. He took some of their things that were worth money. Atom Wudirav. So they told on him. They went to Rav and they said, hey, this Rav Rav Hanan Chutzpan took our clothes. Atom Wudirav. Amarli. So Rav said to Rav Hanan, please, Rav Hanan.
It's a typo, I think.
What, where, what?
Gemara said it's Rav Bar Bar Chana, I
think. Rav Bar Bar Chana?
Yeah.
It's okay.
Sorry.
It's okay?
What?
We're okay? Yeah, okay, good. Actually, the quote is from Bar Ilan. Yeah, it all, so right. Most chances it's okay. Okay? So they broke his things, and Rav said, okay, you have to give them back their clothes. Amarli, Dina Hachi? What? They owe me money, so I took my money's worth. What's wrong with that? Right? They broke my barrel of wine, which is worth a few hundred dollars. I took their clothes, they're worth a few hundred dollars. I took their strimal and their kapote, which are worth $300. This is my, what do you want? Yeah, strimals are expensive. Yeah. It's foxes. Strimals worth $300?
Some of
them. Crazy. Well, I should open a strimal business. It's okay. No, Jonathan, his voice is natural to Tzibur.
We're all tired today, so I'm staying
here. Okay. Okay, I'll stand up too. Okay. I'm all start today. Said, is this halacha? I take their clothes because they owe me money. It's the simplest thing to do. Why shouldn't I do it? So what did he say to him? Amarli im, that's the halacha. Second line. There's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, you shall go in the path of good people. Okay? That's why I need to give it back to them. Really, Iker Adin, you deserve it. Because they owe you money. But it says, therefore, you should give it back to them. and I'm passing him down on you. So, now, Amrule, Ani Anad. Now, so these guys saw there was a good case here. So they told Ram, Ani, we're poor people. V'tanchinan kule yoma, we worked all day. V'kafinan, we're hungry, and we don't have what to eat. Marli said, Rav said to Rabbi Hanan, not only should you give them back their clothes, not only will they not pay you for what they broke, but also, what? Zil havo agrayo. Pay them for their work. Pay them their day's work. Amali dina hafi. What? This is halacha. I order transfers. I order transformers. Okay? Transfers. Sorry. Transformers something else. Right. Okay. I order transfers. And they broke my thing. I have to pay them for their work? You're joking me? Amali in. Yes. The Ochot Tzadikim, you know, say for Ochot Tzadikim. Ochot Tzadikim Tishmo. You have to keep the way of Tzadikim. Now, we take all these cases together. It seems that we have to be very, very good. The people, we always have to give in. We always have to lose. Right? And there must be some but, or else we'll be Amish or something. I don't know what, right? Well, we're Jewish. We're not, look at the second, you know, hit you. We're not Christian here. But we see that the Lifnei Meshuvat HaDin and the Churban Yerushalayim is because we behaved improperly. We did only went only by the book. So what's the borderline? I mean, there's no end to this, right? Now, look how Tosfot analyzed these Sabiyot. And Tosfot noticed that in some cases, and also differentiate between three types of cases. If we look closely at these Gemaras, even though they all seem to be saying the same thing, that you have to do even things you're not obligated to do, right? That's the common denominator, right, for all these sugyot. But there are some differences. Let's take a look at them. Some places, let's say the third case, number 10. And now look at the bold print, please. Okay? The concept that's mentioned is what? Lifnei Meshuvat HaDin. Lifnei Meshuvat HaDin. Instead of boarding here in our class. Lifnei Meshuvat HaDin. Is there anything there to supplement the concept of Lifnei Meshuvat HaDin there? You just told them, you have to do it, Lifnei Meshuvat HaDin. That's it. Nahon? But in the cases, the first two cases, Lifnei Meshuvat HaDin is mentioned together with what? With the pasuk. Nahon? The Tani, Rav Yosef. Passing the Torah, the Maaseh Asher Yasum, Zol Lifnei Meshuvat HaDin. The Gemara backs up Lifnei Meshuvat HaDin with a pasuk. So in sources 8 and 9, we have Lifnei Meshuvat HaDin, right? The cases of what? The cases of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Chiya, right? We have including a pasuk. Third case, number 10, we have Lifnei Meshuvat HaDin on its own. Source number 11, what is the concept that's mentioned there?
Pasuk.
Pasuk from the Torah or from Kabbalah?
Mishlei.
Mishlei is Kabbalah. Kabbalah means like ketuvim, like whatever, right? And so they mentioned the man telech v'derech tovim, and the concept of Lifnei Meshuvat HaDin isn't even mentioned. It doesn't say, do Lifnei Meshuvat HaDin, because it says leman telech v'derech tovim, right? It says only leman telech v'derech tovim. That's it. That's learning Be'in. Says Tosfot. These three different structures of what the Gemara brings are three different types of cases, which give us a direction. When is it a real obligation of Nishavadin? And when is it just, it's a good thing to do, but it's not an obligation, it's not even something you have to do. There are three different levels. What are the three different levels? Let's take a look at Tosfot. This is very important. Tema. So it's also Tema, Kushya. The law, he's talking about the sugya about the Metzia there. Source number 10. The law, Maiti Kran Hacha, Kitim Maiti Lekam Buddha Mishmoyim, Lagoy Zed Kama. That the Pasuk, the Gemara, about Metzia Kavdalit, source number 10, does not bring a Pasuk just like it brings, right, in the first source and the second source we had here. Buddha Abchia, Bimaredin Ashulchanim, Vinim Tzarach, Masafumim, And another kusha has a kamar of umnim. And left Hashem Yasun didn't bring the pasuk from the Torah. Why would the Gemara bring the ma'atei nekudech tovim pasuk from Mishnei, which is ketuvim, which is less, not as strong as a pasuk here? Pasuk Hashem Yasun, right? Plus Hashem Yasun, which is Torah, much stronger. What's going on? What are these differences? What do they reflect? And here Tosfot comes and tells us the guidelines we're looking for. Turn your page and we'll discover a whole new world.
It's pretty exciting.
Yeah?
Discover a whole new world.
Okay. Okay, it's a whole new page at least. A whole new page of Torah. What? Yeah, they're all different cases, but what is the concept behind these cases? As I said, we have different cases, but we want to find, really, we're looking for we found the common denominator. In all these cases, people did things that they didn't have to do, okay, or told to do things that they didn't really have to do. But why? Okay, but we're going to see there are nuances, different cases, which are going to help us deal with things in the real world. Let's take a look. The Yesh Loma, Teretz. The Lomai Tikra Dasher Yasu. אלא במקום שאחרים חייבים והוא פטור. What is this case? This is the most obligatory case, right? Because it's also the concept of Lifnei Shorat Hadin appears, including the pasuk that backs it up, which is basically almost an obligation of Lifnei Shorat Hadin. Where is there an obligation to Lifnei Shorat Hadin? אחרים חייבים in the case of Rishon Bab Yossi, it was a case of helping out a person with his load, right? If a regular person would be hanging out there, would he have to help? Definitely. If it wouldn't be Rav Chiya the banker there, the top banker, it would be a regular banker, would he have to pay? What? Yeah. That means we're talking about a case where the case itself is a case where the average person would have to do it. That means we see that it's a moral thing to do. It's not an extra. It's an obligation. For most people, it's an obligation. You can't choose yes or no. So you're the rabbi, you're potter. But for everybody else, it's an obligation. That means it's something that really is an important thing to do. In that case, the Lifnei Shorat Hadin is expected of me. Because I'm the only one exempt. If it weren't such an important thing, other people wouldn't be obligated to do it. Okay, that is why the Gemara brought the Kol Shel Shahid and the Pasuk. Because Kulam Chayavim. Only I potter. Said it? Whereas say Tosfot. The Hacha Bishmatin. But in our case, second paragraph in the Tosfot on our page. The Hacha Bishmatin. In our case, the Hadrinu Tateshata. In the case where he's giving back an Aveda after 12 months. Nobody's chayav to give back an Aveda. So in that case, it's not as strong. In this case, kulei alma p'tuim. So that's like, what should I do in this case? Everybody's potter. In a case where everybody's chayav and I'm the only one who's potter, the obligation is strong. I should really be doing the Lifnei Shorat Hadin. But if everybody's potter, if Lifnei Shorat Hadin is a good thing, but it's not as strong as this case. And the third case. Now we go to the third case. Before the third case. Bishmati, in the second paragraph, in our case, what are we talking? That he gave Aveda back when he didn't have to. That he didn't have to say Achishata, he gave back after 12 months. Everybody's potter. That's why the Gemara did not bring a pasuk. Lechach lo maiti krahacha. Mikol makom, bold print, second line, second paragraph, on the last page. Mikol makom, mishum lifni mishurat adin bayle ladu. Why is there still lifni mishurat adin? If everybody's potter, so who says why should I do more than what I have to? Nobody has to do more than what they have to. Nobody has to do this. Why should one? Kivan she'ino mitchaser mamon. Right. If he can do something good to someone else, And you're not losing anything anyway, you're just being nice. You're not losing anything. Right? Why not? Be a nice guy. Do him a favor. So you don't have to keep it after 12 months. It's not worth keeping it. You don't have to keep it. Come on. But you're not losing anything. It's okay, so keep it there. Put it aside. What do you care? So it's not as strong as obligation as a case where everybody's chayav and only you are patur. Because everybody's patur. On the other hand, there is an inyan still. If you shvat din, I should actually have a bit higher. Because you're not losing anything. Okay? Not losing. Yeah. Third case, which you brought to Pasuk Mishnah, the case with the transformers, right? the case with those hever there, who also broke the barrel of wine, also wanted their money, and also wanted their clothes back, right? That case.
That's understandable.
Why?
I want my clothes back too.
Yeah. Maybe it was a mink coat, I don't know. Ava besofa uni, second line from the end of Tosa, besofa uni, the case where the last case we had. Behanu shakulai, with those transfers, those whatever, sheshavulo achavit, vasulo hefsed gadol, mishum lifni mishurat adin eilu lehafsid. Various, you see. We're not Amish, guys. It's not stunned that the Gemara did not mention the concept of Ifni Mishurat Adin in this case. There's a cardinal link, right? Yeah. Difference between the first three cases and the fourth case. This is not Ifni Mishurat Adin here. Why? Because Hifsid Kesef. The guy lost money. He lost his money, he lost his wine, he's going to have to put up money out of his pocket, right? And therefore, there's no obligation to do Ifni Mishurat Adin if you're losing money. You remember the case I gave you at the beginning of last week? The people with their kablan did a bad job, right? And they were debating if to sue the kablan or not. And I was sitting there. I told them, no, sure, you should sue the kablan. You lost a lot of money. And then the father came in and he said, no, you know, be nice people. Don't sue them. You know, he was having a hard time. Yeah, but they lost 30,000 shekels. You want to be a nice guy. It's nice to be a nice guy. But there's no obligation to finish what to do. There's no mitzvah to finish what to do if you're losing money.
What case was that?
The case, it wasn't the case in Gemara, the case I gave you at the beginning of last year, last week. The case again, I came up with a few weeks ago. People asked me about it. If you're losing money, there's no obligation to finish what to do. Okay, so there is the lament to them that if you want to be a good guy, okay, if you want to be a good guy, and you see the reason. Now, points you can speak about. So, why did. So, if he loses money here, why did he tell them to help this person, these people? Why do you tell them to give them their clothes back and to pay them their money?
They're poor.
They're poor, exactly. There's not only even a few mishumat because I'm losing money, but on the other hand, it's like it's stuck. These po'alim were poor. They didn't have a lot. They had did a day's work and they had nothing to eat. So that's all you know. Be a nice guy and give them money even though you lost money. But that's not the regular classic lifnei mishurat hadin. Okay? So now I think we have a bit of. We're going to start. So it really opens a whole new world. I think second. You say, okay, man. So this opens really a whole new world. And really being able to analyze what cases should we be doing concessions? When do we need to give in? When not? Okay. When is the obligation stronger? You know, let's say everybody has a job here in the yeshiva and you just happen to be exempt from it. But you see they're having a hard time, you'll help them out. Jim Shulat Adim, right? Everybody's doing it. So what if you don't? You don't have to do it because I don't know why. Because you did something yesterday, so you're punter from the Torah Niyot now. But see, everybody's obligated to Torah Niyot. You know my exam. So come on, get a hand. In a case where you're not losing anything, that's the classic definition of Shulatidin. In the case where you are losing, there's no definition of Shulatidin. But in cases, certain specific cases where you see that there's a need to help a person. Like a tzedakah kind of thing, leman tzedek v'derek tovim, go in the ways of good people. Nisim.
So, wouldn't a pasuk, even from Tanakh, be more stronger than just a concept from the Gemara? Because the Nisim Shad Adin is a concept.
Yeah, well, we saw that there's a source of this. I'll show you how there's a source.
Yeah, but number 10, there is no source.
It's not that there's no source. The Gemara didn't bring it. And the Tosafot says, the Gemara didn't bring it because it thought it's not as strong as this. but it's still within the spectrum. The Torah obligation is within the spectrum of both. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's not that it's detached from it. It's just that the Gemara didn't bring it, so as to emphasize that it's not as strong as the other one. That's why Tosfos this analyzes the sugya. Okay? That's that. I want to end up, we have 10 minutes. So give me just 1 minute to make you a copy of this page a second. And these two pages, two parts in the Maharal, really give us a bit of thought on this whole concept of Nishuat Adin. What is the whole point here? So, just in a second, I'll just copy it a sec for you. And we'll put here a few parts together. It's really amazing stuff. It's a new rabbi
room.
Yep.
What? It's a what?
New room. What's
happening? Did you walk out of the room and take a
picture?
Yeah. Are they getting rid of the passcode thing?
Stop.
I don't
know. I really
need
to learn.
Huh?
It's a learning.
Just because you're jealous that...
Yes.
Yeah.
So they're moving all the cabinets and the copy machine there?
Yeah, you go, okay, fine.
Here we
get
that's
why I left it. That's good.
So they're moving the copy machine and all the stuff there?
Copy machine's
been moved.
To that place?
No, I think it's stupid. Room last year.
How is there any room for all of that, though?
There's a room, just not much.
That stinks.
Yeah.
Want to see how wireless?
No. Look, supposedly, the year before us, the room where the copy machine is, that was the running room.
So why didn't they just put
that? It's a lot smaller than that.
What is it?
Sorry. No, they got that a little. Very good. Okay. Watch what I say, hey? Said it. I got here two passages really that I would like to go through very, very briefly, which I think teach us One passage is from two Sfarim in the Maharal. You can see it's double sided. One of the Sefer is Netivot Olam. Okay, Netivot Olam is a Sefer Musar of the Maharal. You ever knew the Maharal? Any of you? No. The Maharal in Prague, you've heard of him, obviously.
Yeah.
Great. Good. So, one of the greatest thinkers of the 16th century. His philosophy is really, he knew a lot of philosophy, but his philosophy was that Jewish thought should be learned from within Jewish sources, okay, and that's why he bases most of his philosophy and Jewish thought on Ne'emot of Chazal. He just uses Chazal as a platform to build on all his Torah, okay, his Machshava. That's his system, and that's what he works throughout all his farm. So the two Sfarim I have here, one of them is Netivot Olam, the Sefer Musar, the Maharal wrote, basically. There's Lamed Bet, Netivot Chokhmah, Lev, Netivot Chokhmah, 32, and he has like 32 chapters, like not chapters, 32 topics here, which he goes through. Most of the topics starting with Torah, Avodah, Milut Chasadim, Tzedek, Tzedakah, Leitzanut, Yetzer Hara, and good things also, Shalom, Emet, Din, whatever, all the different concepts that do with Musar. That is one thing, and I got you here a passage from the Tivut Munut Chasadim, which you see is marked like on the right hand side on the wood. The second sefer, which you have here, is sefer called Be'er Agula. Okay, basically, this is Yaakov Avinu when he came to meet Rachel, so he got so excited he managed to take the rock off the well. Take the rock and get to the water. Maharal just used this as a parable, as a mashal, for Ne'emot Chazal. He says sometimes the sayings of Chazal, we don't know what's really behind them. It looks like very simplistic to us. We need to take the rock off them and find the water within in the well. So what he does here, he really takes Ne'emot Chazal, which seems sometimes a bit bizarre or a bit weird or not very simplistic, and he shows you how there's so much depth in Ne'emot Chazal. This is the Sefer Be'er. Okay, so... What I want to show you from these two Sfarim, he deals with two passages I brought for you here. One, he deals with the whole concept of difference between the law of the Torah and regular man law, okay, regular human law. That is the case with Be'er Agula. Take a look at Be'er Agula. Photocopied the wrong page. Okay, so let's just see the beginning of it, okay? The beginning is on the page. That's a mistake. Take a look at Be'er HaGola, left-hand side, bottom left-hand side. We'll never done it, okay? Be'er HaGola, Devar HaMetzia. Amru Sham She'en Tzarech Lachzir Avida Achar Yi'ush Be'erim. Okay? It means, if people have despaired... Okay, Yerush, right? You know what Yerush is? Right? People have forgotten, forget it, you know, I don't need it anymore. In that case, you don't have to give back the Avida. V'davam Zeh, third line, says Man. Davam Zeh Nir'er Nivnei Adam Rachok. Shikach Adam Et She'ino Shelo. I mean, it's not yours. Just as the Gemara happened before, right? The Gemara said, why did the Gemara say in Bamet Yeh, when they review the Ask Shmuel, if I find here a Aved on the middle of the street, am I allowed to take it? Shmuel said, what? You're allowed to take it, right? Why are you allowed to take it? Because in the middle of the street, you lose something in the middle of Times Square in New York, forget it. If you forget something in the New York subway, right? Forget it. After 2 minutes, you have Yosh. There's no way you're going to retrieve that thing.
That's 5 seconds.
5 seconds. Nachon? Now, even if it has a siman, you forget it. There's no way you're going to get it. Nachon? Most of them are people who don't care about getting anything back. They're going to take it, rob the money off it, throw it in there, wherever it is on the tracks, to forget. Nachon? Alach alecha. Torah says, since you had Yosh, if somebody finds it, now, if you run back and you find the thing, you say, you see a guy holding it, it's mine. He tells you, Yosh, you had Yosh, right? You sure you had Yosh, Nachon? You had Yosh. I don't have to give it to you. Does that seem to you right? I mean, no, you can prove it's yours. Your girlfriend's picture is right there in the front. And you know how many freckles she has. You have a siman muvak. Does he have to give it back to you? Officially, without giving him Shu'at Adin. Does he have to give it back to you? No. Does that make sense? It's yours. This is my Rav. People think it does make sense. The Davar Zeh Nireh Livnei Adam Rachok. It seems bizarre. Sheikach Adam Et She'eino Shelo. V'hu Lo Aman V'lo Tarach V'yachmon Mamon Acher. And it'll take somebody else's money. The Davar Zeh Eino Lefi Adat HaNimusit. Adat HaNimusit is the human law. But the common law. We call it common law. Right? Torah here seems to be going against common laws, against common sense. Why? Even if there was Yush, if I know it's yours, so I give it back to you. Even if there was Yush. Why is this? Says the Maharal on the seventh line. What seems good to people. But the Torah, and I'm not going here, goes by the Sechel. In other words, the Torah says, look, Torah says, we go officially. Is it yours or is it not yours? You have to be clear cut here. If we understand that once you have Yeush, it's not yours anymore, since it's not in your possession, it's out of your mind. And the Torah says, the Maharal goes on there, says, it's going to educate you that property is not an integral part of your personality. Okay? That's why if your property is not in your possession and you've lost contact in your mind with it, it's not yours anymore. You've detached your connection with it and therefore someone else can take it. And that is true from a legal perspective. From a legal perspective, that's what should be. We feel bad. This is the guy who went back to take it. Give it to me, it's mine. Officially, it's not yours. That's Torah's approach. And here kicks in what our Gemara said. You can do lifni mishu'at adin, but lifni mishu'at adin is not an obligation. It's not chovah. It's not a legal chovah, but it's concession. And here comes in, Gassiel, we think it's right to do, why didn't the Torah obligate us to do it? So here, turn your page and I want to see it. Let's see the passage here. I think it's an amazing passage. It explains us what the whole Indian of doing chesed and doing the lifnei mishurat hadin. Take a look where the arrow is at the bottom right hand side. See it? So, as we said, the Bahama always starts with the Imrot Chazal, and here it starts with the Pelkam de Sota, famous Gemara. Amar Avacha, we have 3 minutes, we'll try to do it fast. Amar Avacha, Mai Dichtiv, what is it? It says in Torah, Chesh and Lokhim Telechu, you have to follow a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Chesha Adam La Loch Achar Shkina, person follow this Bravo, not gonna mark it, you can't follow the fire. El Kana, he's zealous. You know, you're gonna get hurt. Ela Halocha Khamita follow the Kadosh Baruch Hu's prince. Right? מה הוא מלביש ערומים? דכתיב ואז השם קודנו אותו והבישם, הפתל בש ערומים. דוש ברוך הוא מבקר חולים, דוש ביקרחון, אז יהיו ביקרחונים. דוש ברוך הוא קובר מתים, אז יהיו חבר קדישה. אך דוש ברוך הוא נחם אבלים, אז יהיו דוחים אבלים. Now, what always bothered me here? There are certain things, yeah, that it doesn't say, מה קדוש ברוך הוא עושה משפט, נכון? אף אתה עושה משפט. Right? הקדוש ברוך הוא עושה צדק, אף עשה צדק. You didn't have to follow this broker. Why did they choose only the nice things? Why don't they choose the... This broker was also El Kana, נכון? Go by the book. לא מבטר. נקה לא ינקה. Why does it tell us to be like that also? If you have to follow this broker, you only choose certain things that you like. It tells you to follow this broker in those areas. It always bothered me. Until I found this Maharal is amazing about them. Says the Maharal. Here, second line of the end. Umar shalidei hamida hazot bifrat efshar lidamot lebo. What makes you like a Kishbaruch Hu dafka in the chesed, in bikur cholim, nichum avelim? Why? Mipnei shezot hamida, the beginning of the top there, mipnei shezot hamida, hi ma she'oseh ha'adam be'atzmo. When Chazal told you to follow Kadosh Baruch Hu, Chazal didn't tell you copy Kadosh Baruch Hu. Halacha Chazal doesn't mean, it means walk in his footsteps. You walk. Don't be towed behind him. You walk in his footsteps. In his midot. What does that mean? It's ma she'oseh adam be'atzmo. Ki ha'mishpat, second line from the top, ki ha'mishpat. That's what it says. Mahu shofet afata shofet tzedek. Why? Because judging according to the rules means you're bound by the rules, right? Ki hamishpat lo shayach lomar shu olech bedarchei Hashem yitbarach. Why? Ki haolech hu olech mitzav atzmo. You're walking with, on your own behalf, out of your own choice. Voseh me'atzmo u'mirtzono u'midato. Vezeh nikra shu olech. If you're walking, you're doing from your own ratzon. Vilu ha-mishpat, with the underline there. Vilu ha-mishpat, fifth line underlined. Vilu ha-mishpat u-mechuyav la-asot mishpat. When a judge is sitting on his chair of the judge, could he choose whatever he wants to do, or is he bound by the rule book, the law book? He's bound, right? He's tied up. He has a very, very small margin where he can play around with. So if Chazal tell you walk in the footsteps of Kadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't mean... Chazal doesn't say do mishpat, because doing mishpat is not walking yourself. It's doing what Hashem said. It's putting yourself under, and then, yeah, I'll do what you told me to. In what areas is it relevant to tell you, do yourself. Be yourself like Kadosh Baruch Hu is himself. It's the things where you have the choice to do or not to do. It's in these cases of lifnei mishurat hadin, of doing the chesed, of doing what you don't have to do, that's where it kicks in. That's where you can be really like Kadosh Baruch Hu and make the real choices. Because when you're bound, it's okay, it's important to do what Kadosh Baruch Hu told you to do, but the Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chavana didn't obligate us totally to do it, but left us the choice, left us the decision that we can really become ourselves good people, not only be forced to do what someone else told us to do. This is a whole concept between why the Torah has lifnei mishurat hadin. So Torah puts the law. The law ends at a certain point, and there comes in where we can really be like a Kadosh Baruch Hu and make the decision to be good and to do what we don't have to do. That's where it comes in. That is really maybe the highest level of Avodas Hashem. Being really like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Not only giving in to what we're told. It's not instead of doing what we're told, but it's lifnei mishurat hadin. Neged shurat adin. It's not rebelling against what Baruch Hu says. It's what Baruch Hu says, and that's the mishpat. But there's an area which Baruch Hu didn't tell us exactly. He gave us a direction. He gave us guidelines. Tosfot gave us guidelines. The Gemara gave us guidelines. When more, when less, when we have to, when we not, when we don't. And there we have the choice. We have the ability. Lalech et achayek des Baruch Hu to do it from shurat adin. That is, I hope someday we'll be able to Hashem fulfill in any place in life. Hashem, some business, monetary issues, in any chesed you want with people, you know, take this parameters in your hand. What if it's something you only are exempt, everything's exempt, but you don't lose anything anyway, or if you're losing, And you, then you decide how much you're really going to take out of yourself and do for other people. Okay, Shabbat Shalom.